point, I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to our scripture reading this morning. I'm going to invite Naomi to come up to read this scripture passage. And kids, lots of wonderful kids, you guys can head off to Sunday school or nursery. We're so glad that you're here today. So let's do that right now. Great to see that movement of families. Thank you, Sunday school teachers, for helping. If you can help with Kelly today, that'd be great. Some of the youth are helping, I know. And so if you can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 25, the scripture reading is Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. And I've invited Naomi to come and read that for us. So let us hear the word of the Lord.
In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, you are great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He teaches the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant.
Thank you, Naomi. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, if I could just invite you to join me in a time of prayer as we look to God for his continued leading in our lives. He has led you here, for which we are very thankful. And we know that God is at work in your life. And as Heinz so clearly put it, where would we be without his unfailing and perfect love? Let's thank him for that love right now. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning that you have blessed us with, that we can come together from all walks of life, from many different communities, to worship you and to thank you, Lord, for your grace which has saved us from our sins. We thank you, Lord, how amazing it is that once we were lost, but now found by the grace and mercy of love. And Lord, we want to remember your great mercy and love today. We want to thank you for the blessing of your presence in us and how you guide us and how you lead us every day. And again, Lord, we are surrounded by such incredible reminders of your love that those even sitting next to us, you have put in our life to help us, to support us, to encourage us, and to build up our faith that we have been given by you. Lord, as we enter into your word, we again pray, Lord, for your Spirit's leading, that we would understand today more clearly what you have to say to us. And Lord, all that you even teach us this morning and show us what we need to do in our lives, Lord, help us, we pray, to apply this truth, to put into practice your word so that our faith does mature and grow and that we continue to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Again, Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, for this community, for this land that we have been so blessed to live in. And we thank you again, Lord, that we are here this morning to give you all the praise and the glory, for you are worthy of all of it all, Lord Jesus, when we think of all that we've been blessed with. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to begin this morning just with a question, and that is, who or what is guiding your life? Who or what has been guiding your life in this past week? Life is about choices, many choices. How many choices do you think you make in a given day, really? Throw out a number. A lot. Yes.
10,000.
10,000. For teachers, 100,000, sure. That's true. You know, it's going to vary depending on what you're doing in your life. But yeah, I'm certainly not 700, but we're in the thousands. How many? I don't know. I'm just saying. We just make a lot of choices. And a lot of choices that we make, we don't even think about. We just do it. That's so true. We just automatically do it. Some choices are spontaneous and carry little consequence. Seriously, how long did it take you to choose the mug that you poured your coffee in this morning? Probably didn't even think about it too much, right? Didn't carry a lot of weight or significance. But other decisions carry great weight. A lot of choices that we make carry great weight and great consequences, such as the person you choose to marry, or the career you choose to commit your life to, right? The house and community you choose to settle in, that's a big choice. Where has God led you? And where he has led you, that is where you are called to serve him and be used by him to build his kingdom. But yeah, choices, big choices, a lot of choices have a lot of consequences and carry much more weight than others. But in all those choices that we make, we all need guidance in order to get on the right path and then to stay on the right path. In order for that to happen, we need God's guidance. And that's why I asked you this morning, who is guiding your life? Who or what? Because that's pretty important. There was a woman driving through the mountains west of Calgary, heading to Calgary. And this is coming, by the way. Anyways, she's driving and she ran into a snowstorm. And of course, in a snowstorm, it's very hard visibility. It's hard to see. She was completely lost until she looked ahead and saw a snowplow. Who knows what that feeling's like? And I hope if, for all of us, it's like relief. You know, if I can just get behind this snowplow, things might be a little bit better. The traction on the road, where I've got to go. So anyway, so she decides to follow this snowplow, keeping as close to it as possibly as she could while it removed the snow from the road. And at times, however, the blowing snow almost cut off her view. It was that snowing. But her faithful guide kept on leading the way. Now, after some time, the snowplow actually stopped, and the driver got out and walked over to her car, knocked on her window, and asked, "Lady, where are you going?" he asked. And she said, "Well, I'm on my way to Calgary," she replied. "Well," he said, "you will never get there following me. I'm plowing a parking lot." Going nowhere. And that's true in life. You're wasting a lot of gas. Going nowhere. Well, spiritually, you're wasting a lot of Jesus going nowhere. Am I right or right? I ain't amen to that. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. So how you're living your life, you could be wasting it, wasting Jesus. In order to get to our destination, right, who is guiding us? We must make sure we're on the right road and the right path, and we need to follow the one who longs to give us guidance and direction to our life. So let me ask you again, who or what is guiding your life? This isn't a main man, brother. This is an important question because whatever or whoever we depend upon for direction determines our thinking, our attitudes, our values, our wishes, our desires, and our ways. And we all need to be making sure that we are stepping out into the right guidance. And God's guidance is always the right guidance. And perhaps after this morning, my prayer is that each one of us, including me, we are stepping out into God's guidance. When the Lord is our guide, he will always lead us on the right pathway for life. The question will be, again, will I step into his guidance, even if it means sacrifice, even if it means rejection or ridicule? Even if it means that you have to admit that you were wrong and you need to say sorry. That's God's guidance. God's guidance might even also mean that if you step out into it, you have to ask for help. And that's not easy also. But if that's God's guidance in your life today, step into that. Because he knows the best way for you moving forward. God's guidance. When you choose to allow God to be your guide, He will give you clarity, and he will give you strength and wisdom, and he will show you what you need to do to live for him as he has designed, right, with confidence and trust in him. You know, one of the greatest realities of God's presence is the way it guides us every day. Now, when God rescued the children of Israel from Egyptian slavery, he didn't just lead them to find their own way. It wasn't like, ha, got you out of Egyptian bondage, you're no longer slaves, there's the wilderness, be free. No, he was with them every step of the way, guiding them. He didn't leave them to find their own way to the land he'd promised to give them. Listen to Exodus 13, verses 21 to 22, and you can turn there in your Bibles if you'd like as well. In Exodus 13, verses 21 to 22, we learn about God's guidance, his presence leading the way. For it says in verse 21, by day the Lord went ahead of them. He went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Isn't that awesome? Whether it was day or night, God's presence led them, and they just had to keep their eyes on him, and they would know where to go and when to go, when to stop, when to go. It's awesome. Although they were traveling through unknown territory, this was the wilderness, they would never get lost as long as they followed the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. What a way to travel. What a way to travel. What a great picture also of God's loving leadership and guidance in the life of his people. He doesn't leave them to just figure it out on their own. He personally provides direction and guidance and where to go and when to go there. Now, this passage in Exodus 13 is just an illustration for an important truth that God would have us know this morning, and that is when we need guidance, we can run to his presence and discover his leadership in abundance. Isn't that such a great principle that comes out of this passage in Exodus? God is always willing and ready to guide you. We need to run to his presence in order to find that. Even in the Israelites' sin, God faithfully led them. Even in their lack of faith, God still provided miraculous leadership. And boy, did the Israelites complain and grumble in the wilderness, if you know the Old Testament. If not, read through it. But God was always faithful, even when they complained and they sinned. And now, for us, through believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have been filled with the presence of God himself, who leads and guides us every day. Now, we've been given the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, who is always present with us and in us. And I'll say a little bit more about that later. But as amazing as it is that God led his people with a pillar of cloud and fire, how much more incredible it is that we have been filled with the very presence of God by the work of Christ. Jesus made a way for us to know the will of God with every moment as we fellowship with the Spirit of God himself every day. But here's the good news. God has shown us very clearly in his word that he does not try to hide his will from us, his guidance, his way. He wants to lead us. It's not as if God is playing some kind of cosmic game of hide and go seek. Can you imagine? No. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. And our steps and our every step, just like he did here for the nation of Israel in the wilderness. Now, you might think, well, I wish I kind of had a pillar of cloud, of fire by night and cloud by day to lead me. Well, we have something better, so much better. We have the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen to that. When you believe the gospel, and this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what we believe here at this church, when you believe the gospel and trusted in Jesus to save you, that's when you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. The gift of the Holy Spirit is received by believing in Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said in Acts 2, verse 38, repent, which means turn from your sin and turn to God, asking for the forgiveness of your sins through Jesus Christ. He says, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins. And this is how he ends it. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in his fullness, not just a quarter of the Holy Spirit or half, but all full of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit has been given to us as believers in Jesus Christ so that we can know who God is and to know how to follow him. And he gives us the supernatural power to live for him because we cannot live for Jesus in the natural at all. It has to come from the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in us. So now with him inside of us, as Philippians 4 verse 13 says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now the Holy Spirit does many different things. The Holy Spirit imparts understanding of God's word as we read it. The Holy Spirit gives guidance, enables us to follow and obey the word of God as it's revealed and understood. Today we have God's written word as our dependable guide for life's journey. And praise God, the Lord has graciously revealed to us in his word what he thinks, where you came from, where you're going, why you're here, and what he desires so that you can know how to live in a manner that pleases him. Now, in order to be guided by God, we cannot live automatically without giving him a thought or even just relying on our emotions for guidance. And why is that a dangerous thing to do? Because your emotions change. Your feelings change every day. So you cannot rely on them to decide on what is right or wrong, what is true and false. It's just like we can also look around and imitate what everyone else is doing because they may not be also following after God's will and patterning their lives after God's word. And so we need to stay focused on him and follow his guidance as revealed in the word of God and in the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So stepping out into God's guidance every day means what? Spending time in God's word and walking in the Spirit. As Bible scholar J.D. Greer has said, if you want to be led by the Spirit, then devote yourself to the word of God. Now, living according to God's guidance requires some steps. And I wanted to share just three steps with you this morning about how you can keep yourself stepping into God's guidance for your life. Number one, as I've already been kind of mentioning, is that is seeking God in his word. Okay? In Psalm 25 that Naomi read earlier, if you have that open, if you can return back to Psalm 25, it is a psalm written by David. And he begins in verse 1, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. What a confession. What a great way to start your day and end your day. To you, Lord, I lift up my soul. That is everything. Your soul is everything about you. Your emotions, your personalities, your attitude. And he begins this way, in you I trust, O my Lord. So David turns to God for guidance. And verse 1 just shows us his confidence. You know, if there's anything that David knew for certain in is that was his life was in God's hand and he trusted him completely. And so that's how he begins. But then if you go down to verses 4 to 5, what's David then revealing to us? He's saying, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. If you have yet to underline those verses in your Bible, do it this morning. Verses 4 to 5 of Psalm 25. Because in verses 4 to 5, David is crying out. What is he saying? He's saying, Lord, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. He recognized that his own wisdom and his own understanding would always fall short, would never be enough compared to God's path, God's ways. And he wanted that so badly so that his life was living in a manner that pleased and honored the Lord. This was David's heart. He needed guidance. He needed direction in his life. And so he turns to the Lord. In verses 9 to 10, if you looked on, David reveals then why. Why does he say, Lord, teach me your path. Show me your way. He goes on to reveal why he goes to God and God alone. Not the newspaper. Not social media. He didn't even have it back then anyways. Who did David go to? The word on the street, maybe? Rumors? He says in verses 9 to 10, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. Verse 10 is the reason why. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. And so here we see why. You know, David goes to God for guidance because all the Lord's ways are right and loving and faithful. And these verses just underscore God's promise to guide you and counsel you, his people, in their journey in life. So we need to keep ourselves faithful and committed to his word, to his ways, and to his will. Now, Psalm 119, verse 105, which is also a great song from Scripture, says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. All right, I'll say it again. What's up there? Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. And so what the cloud and fire were to Israel, God's word is for us today. It's completely adequate to guide your life if we just will just read it and meditate on it instead of just opening it when we have a problem. Anybody guilty of that? You're in a crisis. Oh, I better get to God's word. No, get to God's word every day. His word is called a lamp and a light. Why? Because it contains truth. And God's light will expose the false and what is error in our world today. And those thoughts that you're having, that are they from God or not? How would you know? Well, you line it up with God's word. If we read it, if we'll meditate upon it regularly instead of just opening it when we have a problem. So his word is called a lamp and a light because it guides our path. In it we read about our sinfulness, and in it we learn of God's holiness. And we learn, as John 3:16 says, God sent his son Jesus Christ as the true source of spiritual light, that those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so if we receive and follow Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord, the Bible says we will no longer walk in darkness, but we will have the light that leads to life. The abundant life that is can only be found in Jesus Christ, the only way, truth, and life to the Father. Now, if we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, we must also trust him as Lord of all. Because as the saying goes, if he isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. Every part of your life, every part of your routine in life, from getting up to going to work to coming home to parenting to your marriage to what makes up your life. Because we need to yield to his guidance. We need to yield to his leadership in all areas of our life. And we do that by opening our Bibles and to seeing what he has to say. So that involves, again, not just reading God's word, but meditating on it, or studying God's word, or listening to God's word. If you spend a lot of time in the car, and I know many of you do all week, get an audio Bible program. Just plug it in, podcasts, and start listening. It will be a blessing to you. I also have in the foyer some Bible reading plans. Anyone here ever do a Bible reading plan? Yes, some of you, great, super. Well, there is one for you now in the foyer, if you would like one. And basically, you just read it and allow the reading of the day to just be your Bible reading time. Then you check it off and you keep going. And this has been organized so that you can actually read through the Bible in a different way. Like, you can read and start on this one section where it talks about you have 4 weeks, and it gets you through an overview of the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Gospels. It's really great. And then there's another longer Bible reading program. So consider that. Take it if you'd like. If there's none left, that's awesome. Let me know, and we'll make sure there's more next week. A Bible reading program. I would certainly encourage all those 14 people that were baptized this year, praise God. If you're here, I was specifically thinking of you guys in mind. So if you're here today, make sure you have a Bible reading program before you leave this morning so that you continue to grow in your faith. So like the psalmist, we need God's word to guide our steps in this dark world. And only God's word can correctly inform us about the meaning, again, of right and wrong, what is true, what is false. And if you like tea and you steep your tea, you need to steep your life in God's word. the more clearly we can discern right from wrong and choose the right path will come out of how much you're steeping your life in God's word. Now, there is a warning that we also get from God's word, and it comes from Proverbs 29:18. Would you focus on with me on this passage, whether in your own Bibles on the screen behind me? Because in this proverb, there's a warning if we neglect the word of God. It says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Have you ever seen this proverb? I know there's a lot of them, but the wisdom in this proverb is of course, like all of them, life-changing. If we will just spend time meditating on what God's trying to teach us through it. And so what is the wisdom in this psalm? Well, without the word of God, people are loose. Where it says, cast off restraint, right? That is, they go their own way. And is this not a real clear picture of our society today? People that live without restraint. And ultimately, living in such a way will lead to destruction or will lead to death, because to ignore God's way is to ignore the way of life. And so what is the remedy to such waywardness, to such unrestraint and disobedience? Well, the next part of Proverbs 29:18 gives us that reason. It says, blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And here what this basically means is we are blessed when we keep God's directions, when we keep God's commands. The whole picture of this proverb is that we need the word of God. And I'm reading that and I'm just finding myself praying, God, I need your word. What does your word say about this issue that I'm going through, or this topic, or what's all the fuss about? And go to God's word about that and pray, God, help us to hear your word in this. Without the word of God to save him, man will... where do I begin? Without the word of God, man will worship sports and totem poles. Without the word of God, man will teach reincarnation, believe he came from monkeys. Without the word of God to save him, man will burn children in sacrifice, kiss a stone in Mecca, burn widows on funeral pyres. That was probably back in the Viking days. Without the word of God to save him, well, maybe not, you never know. Without the word of God to guide him, man will save baby seals and abort human babies. Invent same-sex marriages. Trade and sell humans for pleasure and profit. We could go on, but you get where I'm going with this. Without the word of God to save him, man will just keep inventing ways to commit adultery and idolatry. So in some places you walk today, folks, yes, you may need a flashlight. But in every place you go, you will need God's word as a lamp for your feet and a light for your path. Number two, in order to step out and keep in God's guidance, seek God's word. Number two, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Let me read to you John 16, verse 13. This is what we learned about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. You know, what a great verse that talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how much we need his leading. With God's word and his Spirit, we have everything that we need for godly living. Amen? Everything we need. And our responsibility is to be good stewards of these treasures entrusted to us, the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit will guide you into God's truth so that, again, you can discern if this is from God or not, if this is true or false or good or evil. And being led by the Spirit, listen, that is the calling on every follower of Jesus Christ. And there are many ways in which the Holy Spirit works in a believer's life. And perhaps even this past week, you've experienced his leading and his ministry in your life through many different ways. Through his comforting presence, perhaps. Perhaps you have been just feeling his conviction when you've sinned. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, which leads to repentance and renewal. The Holy Spirit also regenerates and empowers us. He fills us. He sanctifies us. He anoints us. He produces fruit in keeping with repentance. He seals us. And there's so much more that the Holy Spirit does. And that's a different sermon series altogether. But we are not always so good at cooperating with the Holy Spirit, are we? And so as you understand and experience his leading, be in obedience to his leading. Allow him to show you the way. The Holy Spirit also reveals truth to us, truth that brings about change in our hearts and our minds and our character as we seek and obey him. And so we are encouraged and we are, again, reminded again in this passage in John that we've got a helper. We've got a comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he will help make us good decisions regarding our future if we just go to him and ask. And so perhaps this morning, if you're facing a situation that you're not sure about, I encourage you to pray a very simple prayer, and that is, Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Show me your way, and he will. And lastly, standing firm in the face of opposition is the last point I wanted to make. When it comes to what steps can you take to make sure that you are walking in God's guidance? Well, seeking his word is one, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but then also lastly, standing firm in the face of opposition. Listen to what, in the book of Acts, Peter, he was, and his, some of his followers were told to stay silent. In fact, the religious leaders, and this is after Jesus had died and been resurrected, the church is growing, the religious leaders had said, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. We are asking you to stop teaching in his name. Okay, and this is Peter's reply. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And so this is no newsflash, but Western society has become post-Christian. And by Western society, I mean Europe, North America. Christians are becoming a minority, and it appears society is becoming more hostile to the Christian faith. That's true. And what that means for the Church of Jesus Christ and for genuine followers of Christ is the importance of knowing what you believe, why you believe it, so that you do not compromise your faith in order to please man. And just by being a follower of Christ, by putting God first in your family, in your parenting, in your marriage, you are already countercultural. Because what we stand for, the Christian values that we are seeking to build our lives upon, right? Not just that, the Bible teachings that we hold to and believe in, that's like a narrow path that we walk on, going in the opposite direction on top of a very much broader path of people walking against us. Is that not what we're living in? Yes. So when you don't, in a world that generally does, you stand out like a sore thumb. True? Very true. In other words, when almost everybody cheats and you don't, you're penalized. When almost everybody lies to get ahead and you feel compelled to tell the truth, you are at a distinct disadvantage. When almost everybody uses company time for their own personal business or pleasure and you don't, you are thought strange. And you're looked at, strange person. If you don't go along with what our secular culture says is the right way, you are targeted and even worse, labeled as narrow-minded. And there's a lot of other worse words that I could say. But you know what I'm saying. But what makes you feel compelled to tell the truth? I'll tell you what it is. It's the desire to please the Lord and not man, as Peter said. The biblical principles that we learn in the Bible include integrity and holiness, honesty, righteousness. The work ethic that you hold to, I pray it is a reflection of your personal faith in God and his holy word. John put it this way in 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So who is guiding you this morning? And it's important that we seek and recognize God's guidance. It's a journey of faith. As you, number one, as I said earlier, seek God by his word. As you are sensitive to the spiritual leading this morning, and lastly, as you are standing firm in the face of opposition. And my prayer is that we will continually to seek God's direction and trust his leading in all areas of life, because I'm sure you wouldn't want to be following a snowplow in a parking lot. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence here today. Your word, there is nothing like it. It's eternal. It's living. It's active. And we want to know you more, God. This is our prayer this morning. Help us to know you more. Stir in us a hunger. Holy Spirit, stir in us a hunger and a desire for more of you. Lord, forgive us when we have allowed the things of this world to guide us. Lord, we just want to step out into your guidance today and follow you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we just end our time together, we're going to end in worship, which is always great, in response to God's ministry through his word. We're going to sing a song right here that's not even in your bulletin, but it's a song that really captures the heart of this passage today and our prayer. And that is knowing you, Lord. There is no greater reality, no greater truth than to know Jesus and to continue to steadfastly follow him. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we continue in our time of worship and we sing together this great song of our Christian faith.
And I love you, Lord.
And all God's people said, amen.